keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed on AOA. Now back to Mike Pearson.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. AOA continues today, and we're going to turn our focus next to the world of ag policy. Not ag policy in the United States, which, of course, we spend a lot of time talking about here on this program. And occasionally, I get emails from people. Hey, Mike, why do you talk so much about such a boring topic like agriculture policy? And the reason is because it can have ramifications. This was recently brought to the fore over in the Netherlands. Last week, the Dutch Prime Minister stepped down after a collapse of their government. And the reason for the collapse last week was due to a hardline immigration issue. But it really started with their farm policies last year, created some weakness for the ruling party. Joining us now to fill us in on the situation in the Netherlands specific and Europe more broadly is Bill Wirtz. He is the senior policy analyst with the Consumer Choice Center, currently talking to us from Amsterdam. Bill, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me back, Mike.
Mark Rutte, Danish Prime Minister, resigned last week. It was shocking. Bill, how did ag policy have an impact on this government collapse in the Netherlands?
So the Dutch government decided to cut nitrogen emissions by half until 2030, and they had only a couple of ways to do it. One of them would have been to just halt all construction, and that was not going to happen. Another one would have been to halt all the airplanes, and that was not going to happen. So they decided that they are going to buy out livestock farmers. So they want to reduce until 2030 by about a third the entire livestock farming industry in the Netherlands by buying farmers out. And they've set aside $27 billion in order to buy farmers out. And, you know, I know many of your listeners will know, last year that led to significant protests by farmers because they said, no, we just want to go about our business.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw the manure being flown on people's homes, highways being blocked. And Bill, did that create any sort of political pushback inside the Netherlands?
So, yes. And the interesting thing is that Dutch voters actually responded very positively towards those protests, showing their sympathies towards the cause of the farmers by voting also for a new party, which is the Farmer Citizen Movement, known as BBB. And they ended up winning the provincial elections, which determines the Senate in the Netherlands. So the largest political party in the Dutch Senate right now is a farmers party. And they want to have a say now on those nitrogen emissions.
Bill, that seems really surprising to me that the largest party in a country like the Netherlands is a farming party. How big is agriculture in the Netherlands? Is it a substantial part of GDP in that country?
Well, it's a substantial part of GDP, but it's also just on the symbolic level. If you know, if you think of Dutch agricultural products, you're thinking of cheese, of all these products that that people are familiar with. But I think it's also just based on the principle of the thing, the way that farmers have been treated by the government. You know, they were just essentially presented with the facts, like, oh yeah, you're going to give up your life's work. Your family might have been in this industry, but actually you're polluting too much, and now we're gonna get rid of you. I think the entire approach backfired on this government, and now BBB said we're not going to support any government in upcoming elections that includes the Prime Minister Mark Rutte, and that's why he retired completely from politics. It just really shows you that if farmers get active, they can have a significant impact on politics.
Absolutely. That is stunning. So I hadn't realized that the reason for his not leading the government any further was their refusal to participate in it with him. That's what happened?
Yeah, exactly. They said, no, we will not support a single government that includes him. They made clear demands, even though, I mean, right now we only have polling numbers, but they polled so high for the upcoming election, which, you know, was initially supposed to be early next year, but now will actually happen even sooner in autumn, that, you know, basically he said, okay, I have no future in politics unless I have the support of the farmers.
So, Bill, he is out. Those initial proposals by the Dutch government, however, are still there. The livestock buyout plan, as I understand, is still at least floating around there at the Dutch government levels. If BBB does perform as well in the election, can they scrap these things, or is it more modifying the goals of these livestock removal type programs?
So they've been very clear that they're not going to accept any of the proposals that are currently on the table. Now, how exactly they will manage this in terms of a coalition? Because, I mean, that's one of the problems, right? I mean, if you're a farmers party, making coalitions is not just about agricultural policy. Now you have to have positions on all types of other things, and what are you willing to make concessions on? So it's really after the next election that we're going to see any movement on this policy file. And up until then, the current caretaker government has promised not to make any new changes. So negotiations really on ice until the end of the year.
Wow. And this is coming from just 1 year ago, farmer protests in the streets as these announcements about buyouts were being rolled out. Bill, this leads me to my next question. If we can scope out a little bit more and look at all of Europe, it sure sounds as though there's more pushback growing against some of the conservation, the nature laws that are developing there in the EU. Can you fill us in on what's happening on the ground?
So yesterday in the European Parliament, there was a vote on the Nature Restoration Law. So this law tries to essentially recover degraded ecosystems, what they call it, by 2050. And it wants to affect 20% of those systems. So what the farmers' representatives say about this law is that it essentially limits by how far you could potentially expand in your farm. And that's why they've opposed it. And it was supposed to be a done deal up until, you know, just a couple of months ago, when the European People's Party is sort of the strongest party in the European Parliament in the EU, which is, you know, more on the center-right spectrum, suddenly realized if we don't listen to the farmers on this, the farmers will overtake us in other countries as well, not just in the Netherlands. And so they've decided to oppose this law. It passed very narrowly by just 10 votes yesterday, but there will be a second reading and there will be very long negotiations now. And this has really put a lot of these agricultural files, which, you know, are very niche for a lot of the media outlets and the policy advisors, suddenly on top of the agenda of the political movings within the EU.
It is fascinating to see farmers being first sought out for interviews on important political topics like this. Bill, given the Nature Restoration Law, that NRL that is under discussion, what's the timeline look like for that in the European Parliament? Is it, would you expect to see it passed in 2024 if things start going, if the wind picks up at its back?
So most likely not, because there have to be negotiations between all the different institutions and governments. And we do have elections in the EU early next year. And so usually just, you know, a couple of months before that election, not much happens. So this is really a determining factor, what the next election will look like, how many farmers' parties and how will participate and how much those farmers will influence the existing parties. And I think agricultural policy will look very different in the next mandate with the next European Commission. We'll have a lot of policy shifts. And I think ultimately that's a good thing.
It is a good thing, Bill. Are you hearing new ideas come up with regard to advancing environmental or sustainability goals? Or are we still talking in the same framework of we need to limit emissions by limiting production?
So yeah, so it's one part. It's actually interesting. So we have laws such as the sustainable use of pesticide reduction law. That regulation tries to ban, you know, about half of all the pesticides that can be used in Europe, and it is quite extreme and is also, you know, opposed by the farmers and now opposed increasingly in the European Parliament. However, on the other side, you also have the EU. Now, you know, just legalizing new genomic techniques, what we call them, gene editing techniques, which used to be illegal in the European Union for decades. And now suddenly there's a reversal because they see the improvements on not just yields, but also the sustainability impacts of it. So you get a bit of both in the EU. It's not really coherent. And I think this is because just politically, a lot of the political parties are suddenly waking up to this issue and trying to figure out what exactly they want to do about farming policy.
It is going to be fascinating to watch this unfurl over the coming years. Bill, of course, American agriculture, European agriculture, we're very different. We don't always see eye to eye on a number of issues, GM technology, GE technology, one of those issues. But within Europe, as these environmental laws are coming out, are you seeing farmer groups from different countries work together? Is the BBB in the Netherlands working with farmer groups in France to try to advance sort of comprehensive goals?
I think the most fascinating thing was that yesterday when this vote took place in Strasbourg, France, which is where the European Parliament is based, the European Farmers Association got farmers together from all over Europe to protest in front of the Parliament. And that is something you you also very rarely see, because you suddenly have people protesting together that often don't even speak each other's language, but they come together for this cause of opposing this law. So I think it's very rare for us in Europe to see this kind of like coherence and standing together as farmer representatives. And I think, you know, while this might be positive, I think the reason of where it's coming from is because a lot of this legislation has never taken farmers into account. It's sort of ignored the issues of farmers and sort of legislated more ideologically than practically. And I think that's why farmer representatives are more active than ever.
I think you're right, Bill. We hear similar concerns in this country. And I'm wondering, in Europe, are other industry groups joining the farmer side, construction or development, those type of groups?
So I don't see that convergence just happening yet. All industry groups are definitely affected by, you know, this big roadmap of the European Green Deal, but there hasn't been that level of collaboration. But we'll see. I mean, the next year's election will really define where we're taking this. And if the rules are getting even stricter, I think that might actually happen.
Lots to watch here in Europe, of course, as they potentially chart a new course going forward. Bill Wirtz is who we're talking with now. He's the senior policy analyst at the Consumer Choice Center. Bill, you write about these issues a lot. Where can folks go to keep up on your writings?
Or they can follow me on Twitter at WirtzBill, so that's WIRTZ Bill. And they can also find all of my writing on consumerchoicecenter.org.
Folks, check that out. The things that come from Europe, the things that come from other places in the world definitely can drive home and impact our bottom line here in the United States. Big thanks to our friend Bill Wirtz, senior policy analyst at the Consumer Choice Center. Bill, thanks for filling us in on what's happening on the ground in Europe.
Thanks for having me.
And folks, stay right here. Jesse Allen will be back. We'll have a conversation with Republican North Dakota Senator John Hoeven about his livestock disaster assistance bill when AOA returns.